Welcome back. Again, good to see all of you, and I trust that we're hopefully enjoying whatever less left of August. They seem to spoil August a little bit by constantly talking about back to school. Sort of gets me sick every time I hear it. It goes back many, many, many years when you hear back to school. But hopefully, those who will go back to school will go back to school. My friends, the parsha this week, it's a very much of a miscellany of different things. It doesn't have necessarily a narrative thread of any kind. But what makes it interesting, first of all, is that, and I won't go into it, the Dvar Torah. I'll save that for Shabbat. I'll be doing service this weekend. But there is a lot of different things that don't seem to come together with any sense. But it's all based upon a deeper sense of what Deuteronomy is. Deuteronomy is a very tough text, very tough text. It's very, very more than even other parts of the Torah. Much more, if you will, authoritarian to a certain degree. Much more, if you will, interested in meting out harsh judgment, or at least creating warnings about harsh judgment, which is always a problem we have. I have. I don't know about you, but I have a problem reading Torah. That there seems to be a need for this kind of a threat all the time. And here too, we find something a little different, but basically the idea is that there should be punishment for evil, there should be reward for good, which of course doesn't always happen in the real world, but it's there in the Torah. What makes this parsha interesting, besides the individual parts of it, dealing with kashrut, dealing with the pilgrimage festivals, dealing with all kinds of stuff in this parsha, is the first word, re'eh, re'eh, see or look. And this, of course, everybody comments on it because it's basically, haven't we been a shma people? Now we're a re'eh people, shma being a hearing people that we hear or obey. And here we have one that says look or see. So it's a different kind of attempt to reach another part of our perception vehicles, right? One of them for all through Shema Yisrael, it says Shema, Shema, Shema. If you will observe, if you will listen, right? X, Y, and Z. And here we have this word for A, right in the middle, mitten drinnen, as they say, right in the middle. And it says look. And then what's interesting is that grammatically, structurally, it says look at what I put before you, and the look is in the singular, and before you is in the plural. So I guess God has a very poor sense of grammar, right? Should have done saying re'u, see, with a plural. So of course, all the commentaries jump on this, and it's a very important thing for us to basically deal with. And what does it mean to look? That's really a real question. What does it mean to look at what is before you? And before you, in this particular context of this parsha, is blessing and curse. Okay? And we've had that structure before in the Torah, etc. Here he becomes even a little bit more strong because he says, when you enter the land, you will basically go up and create a multi, if you will, dimensional way of expressing this idea of choice. There will be two mountains, Har Ebal and Har Gerizim, and you will also have two steles that you paint with something, what's the word, with plaster. You plaster it, and you write on it all the different things of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And the mountain will have one mountain with six representatives of six tribes on one, the other mountain with six representatives, and people will walk through it, and they would be given this whole multidimensional thing about what is blessed and what is cursed. What is a blessing, a bracha, and what is a klala, what is a curse? So I've been, trying to understand this a little bit by myself. So I found two wonderful things. Shefa Gold does a very nice introduction. I'd like to just read a little bit of it if I can find it here. She opens by saying the blessing. Re'eh begins by commanding each of us to see, to open the eyes of our hearts and behold the world that has been set before us. This clear seeing is both our redemption and our blessing. And only when our vision is no longer obscured by false beliefs, fear, or the illusion of separateness can we experience the freedom to choose the blessing that is being offered to us. We are commanded first to see, because without that clear vision, it may not be possible to discern blessing from curse. The vantage point of Deuteronomy allows us to see where we have been, the long, strange trip it's been, and the doors of possibility that opened before us in response to our seeing. And if we believe that we are powerless, if we believe that the land of milk and honey is beyond our reach, then we will not see those doors of possibility. We will stick, we'll be stuck forever on the threshold. On the threshold. I love that term, right? The doors of possibility. Re'e tells us that in every moment, with eyes wide open, we can choose between the blessing and curse. The blessing appears when we are attentive to the flow of God that pours through us, and the curse befalls us when we ignore that flow and instead go after other gods that we did not know. The word for knowledge, da'at, Dalet Ayin, Taf, Da'at, refers to a kind of knowing that is intimate. The same word is used to denote sex. And Adam knew his wife, Yada et Ishto. The same word is used to denote the God force, which is open to the possibility of blessing. So the gods that we pursue, she says, and I'll conclude this part with that, the gods that we pursue, the ones that are not intimately flowing through us and interpenetrating our essential self, distract us constantly. This predicament, feeling compelled to go after other gods that we did not know, describes the mind state of disconnection from the source. That state, which sometimes manifests as addiction, despair, cynicism, diminished vitality, obscures the choice that is set before us. Instead of making that choice of blessing in each moment, we are compelled by an unnamed, desperate hunger to be made whole. And then we make blind, false choices. The freedom to choose between blessing and curse depends on our clear seeing, and our clear seeing depends on the mind state that we're in. Our mind state is dependent upon how connected we are to the source when we reach for each moment. Well, this idea of being able to see clearly is not that easy. Yes, but we're constantly being distracted. Things are becoming obscure. Things are not as they would be. It's not as if the world has little smiley faces on everything that is good and skull and crossbones on everything that's bad. That was Eden, by the way. In Eden, yes, it was clear. This was good, this was evil, etc., and you were given an opportunity. But what is important here is not only that we have the capacity to see clearly, but that we have choices, and that's very much the fundamental idea that underlines all of Judaism. Because if there weren't choices, if we were just told this is it, and this is what you have to follow, and you're an automaton, and you just pay attention, and you just do what you have to do, would it be a good place? I don't know. Self-driving cars aren't that good. They're automatons. They're robots. And this is really what we are fighting. And if you look at the future, the future is a future of, will humans still be at the helm? And we haven't done a very good job. So people might say, robots might do a better job. AI, which everybody's so frightened about, may indeed, who knows, maybe do a better job than we did. We've killed millions and millions of people, starved millions and millions of people over the generations? Is it because we just don't have human intelligence? And that's why we need artificial intelligence. I won't go further on that. However, another way to look at looking, and this I think is very pertinent for ourselves today and our practices, is we have a very big tendency, most of us, I myself included, is that when I see things that I don't want to deal with, I stop looking at them. Right? That's one way of doing it. Stop looking. You bothered by what's going on in the world, stop watching the news. Now that's, you know, perhaps from a therapeutic point of view, a very good idea to go on a news fast a couple of days a week, because it takes Things don't change that drastically in a week. You'll figure it out next week. It's okay. You don't have to receive the news. I'm a news junkie, so I have to always, hold myself back from learning every detail of every thing that's going on. So that's one thing. It's saying, Re'eh, don't turn away. Look, yes, it's complicated. Yes, it's complicated. But there is room for you, as Rabbi Gold said, there's room to create some clarity. So when you see things, you'll be able to say, aha, this is a blessing and this is a curse. And of course, it's confusing to some people. One person's blessing could be another person's curse. It's not that simple, as I said. So that's one thing that we are supposed to look, and we look within ourselves, and we see how these external things affect us. Right? How we either shy away from them or we deny them. A lot of people deny a lot. They see it, no, that's not that's not so. So that's one thing. Then we also have other things that looking helps us do. It's basically, it gives us a way to walk without tripping. Hearing is one thing. Hear, and if you will listen to my word, etc., etc. But seeing is perhaps more helpful because you can hear something and go in a certain direction, but it doesn't always tell you about the pitfalls that will be in front of you. What will trip you up? What will trip you up? So this idea of seeing is put in here to say there are multiple ways, but certainly hearing and seeing are the two essential ways for us to make choices. Also, if you look at the world and at the choices before you, you begin to see that there are opportunities. There are opportunities. At the turn, curses into blessings. We know that from our own selves. There are places within ourselves that allow us to heal from whatever illness we have, either a physical illness or a feeling of, if you will, mental or emotional despair. So we have within us as well that capacity to overcome, and that's really something we have to strengthen by creating clarity, getting away from the confusion, etc. And what is so one commentary says, this is from the Sforno. The Sforno is a 16th century Italian rabbi and physician. Very important commentary because he sort of brings a Renaissance spirit to his commentaries. So he says, look and see, and he's discussing this verse with A, look and see that you won't be like those in the majority who relate to everything in a middling way, a middling way. Rather, I am putting before you, it says, blessing and curse. Two different directions. Both are before you to achieve according to your choice. So even though most people sort of are namby-pamby about things, they don't make decisions. They let things go in its own course without necessarily taking any positions on it. Well, as we know from our practice, ultimately, we will have to come to a place where we understand where we stand vis-a-vis good and evil. Good and evil. Another commentary for the Vilna Gaon, an 18th century Eastern European scholar, he said, look is in the singular, we just said that, re'eh, so that no person should say, who am I that I should choose my own right path? If most of the world is behaving harmfully and wickedly, therefore it says, look in a singular language, look you personally at what is before you. You singularly do what is yours to do. And that's another thing I hope our practice helps us is to be who we are, to be look at, if you will, to feel that we have a singular purpose in life and each of us has their own individual way of contributing. We also look. Because it says that at least one way of seeing things in a rabbinic way, and later on this was amplified in an image that many of you have seen, of course, the image of scales of good and evil. And of course, the tradition says that we, each of us personally, can add to either side of the scale, and right now it's fairly balanced between good and evil, and thus our individual place in the world, our individual choices will ultimately tip the balance one way or the other. So the individual has a capacity to add or take away from the amount of evil that is in the world. Another thing to look for is to look at the people we are with. Look at the people we love, the people we admire, to be able to look and see who they are. That's different than hearing the word Shema, hearing them. It's not that. It's looking. So, for instance, the beginning of the parsha talks about seeing and looking, and then towards the end of this parsha, it talks about the three pilgrimage festivals, and it said that you should come up to the place that God will choose. It doesn't say Jerusalem, which is not mentioned in the Torah. He says, and you shall be seen. You shall be seen when you bring your offerings on the different pilgrimage festivals. So we have see and be seen. And I love that kind of, not a total dichotomy. It's basically one is part of the other. To look at someone and the person who is being looked at to being seen. What a great gift it is. I meet many people towards the end of their lives who says, I never really felt I was heard, and I never really felt that I was seen. Seen as I truly am, not what appears to be. And I think that's really one of the interesting ideas about look and why it's thrown in here among all the Shemas. Because even in the second sentence of A, it will again say, Tishma'u, you should do what you hear. So this is a really little hint, this Re'eh, about looking at the way things really are. And I think that's what we do in our practice. We sit, we observe. What are we observing? We're observing what is right now. You take that from the cushion and the chair, you take it out into the world, and what you do in the world is you say, this is the way it is. Doesn't say it's better, doesn't say it's worse. It's what is. But in knowing what is, as you look out into the world and seeing what is, you will have the capacity, perhaps the capacity to make the choices needed in order to make that investment into the world really give a return. So I rambled on a little bit. There's more to say. There are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of commentaries on why this parsha begins with Re'eh and not Shema. So let's open it up a little bit. I think I'd like to just end by saying it's good to see you. And I want you, I assume most of you are bigger than that little box, but I just want to know, when I come here every week, I come to see you. Not a representation of you, but to see you. And I'm glad that you see me. So that's the interchange of seeing and being seen. Okay, let's open it up. Let's see who has...